So I don't know if you've heard about this, but there are children who, with very thick blindfolds, full blindfolds, they look like scuba masks, but thick, black, no light whatsoever can get in them, have shown that in a couple of lessons using these, they can play ping pong, they can ride bikes, they can read. And it's happening all over, in UK, Russia, Germany, Utah. These demonstrations of the power of the mind. I mean, what that can mean for people who are visually impaired. That we are now learning to bypass the physical eyes and to be able to see only with the mind. Incredible. So Carolyn Corey, who's the producer of a new docuseries called Superhuman, talks about this, and she says that children can learn to do that in two sessions, two classes. Adults probably would take about eight. Because we have to unlearn when we learn, right? Children are open, they believe, they're you know, often can more easily receive because they're curious and they're open, you know, and they want to try. So I would say probably lunatics have a little more openness than maybe, possibly, than average folk. So maybe it would take us five sessions or four sessions. I don't know. But you too could be able to see just with your mind. And that's not all. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of experiments that are revealed in this docuseries where photokinesis, where people can move objects with their minds, which we've heard of, you know, in the past. You know, these things that we might have before called woo-woo or way out there, or that's just the psychic stuff, it doesn't have anything to do with spirituality, is revealing to us the evolution of humanity. And where we can go and what we can do. Telepathic communication, all kinds of stuff that we can do. I mean, I think about when I'm sitting comfy in my chair, all relaxed at home, my feet are up, I got two dogs in my lap, and then it's like, oh, my tea just went cold. What am I gonna do? I can't move the dogs. But what I could do is teacup, into the microwave, back in my hands. I mean, wouldn't that be great? It'd be handy. It would be awesome to be able to do these things. How fun that would be. And we can. The mind, the human mind, because it's not just the human mind, of course. It's the human mind opening to the possibilities and the presence of the divine mind that is ours to use at any time. There's all kinds of other stuff that they show, like altering the chemistry of water through the power of the mind, doing things with it, influencing DNA. I mean, the implications of our healing and the benefits from which we can draw from the power of the mind are endless. So in today's session, where we're talking about message, where we're talking about humanity's evolution, we could go all kinds of directions with the power of the mind, right? And I kind of go all kinds of directions, even though I tried to hone it down to peace, to the mind of peace. Because so much in our world doesn't feel like peace, right? So much, and so often our human minds and their limitation go along with the fears and the anxiety, and so we create a lot of that in the field. But guess what? We can flip it all around and create instead a lot of peace and harmony and ease for ourselves and for the people around us. So the first big mental hurdle that we face in this approach, in this desire to open ourselves to this mind of peace, is that here we are in this process of saying we are evolving, we're all about evolution. As spiritual beings, we want to be on this train of evolution, of new capacities for the mind and the heart and the body and life and our interactions with one another. But we've got this big hurdle, and that is that the lower mind, the surface mind, the ego mind, can't stand change. And yet life itself is change. Life itself is, we are, and life is wired to constantly evolve and become and change. Yet we've got this big mental block that says, I kind of like things a certain way. Anybody relate to that? Yes, we like our fixed identities. We know who we are. We've come into this, you know, place in our lives. We finally have a sense of our identity, right? Feels really good to not mess with that. The people around us respond according to the identity we've created. And yet, it's not really real. And we do that with each other, and we've got everybody kind of in their boxes, right? We know how they should behave. We know how, you know, what we can predict. The ego mind loves that. The ego mind loves that idea that is a complete illusion. Because nothing is fixed. Life itself is change. We are wired for evolution. And so our first step is to accept that. Easier said than done, right? It's just to simply accept that we are, in fact, on an accelerated path of change. And it's fun, and it's curious, and it's amazing, and it's imaginative, and it's visionary. And I know we all want to. Our hearts have a desire to be a part of that. So we need to help our minds accept, accept, accept. Life is change. I am changing. Everything around me is changing. My world is changing, and it's changing for the good because I get to be a part of that co-creative process. So Unity teaches there's three phases of the mind. There's the conscious mind, which we all know very well, right? The one that knows about, you know, that you're sitting here in a chair and you're in this room and, you know, just constantly in that space of the physical exchange, conversation, so on. Conscious mind we've got down. The subconscious mind is like it doesn't have a way to act on its own. It only acts in connection with the other phases of mind. So the subconscious is like the impression storehouse. It has all the past memories and all the beliefs, and it stores all this stuff. The way that we currently operate typically is we let the subconscious feed us input. Let the subconscious feed the conscious mind input. So you can imagine all that stuff that's down there in the basement of the subconscious, right? I mean, good, bad, and indifferent, right? It's just a bunch of stuff. But we don't really want the old traumas to constantly be informing the conscious mind. But until we do the healing work that Sharon just sang about, until we go down in the basement with our flashlight and look around, see what's in there, we won't know, right? And that's a way that we help ourselves begin to connect in the way that it's designed to work. So the way it's designed to work is that the super consciousness, that divine mind, that divine intelligence, that infinite possibility, that place through which those kids were able to go and adults have been able to go through all these ways of using the mind in new ways, is because they went to the way we are designed to work. And that is for the super consciousness to impress upon the subconscious. So the subconscious then feeds the conscious mind the truth, right? So then it holds a storehouse of knowledge that says infinite peace, infinite possibility, divine ideas. Here you go. Let me feed you some more. That sounds like the way we want to operate, doesn't it? It is indeed the way we were designed. So we're flipping the switch so that superconscious mind can ultimately inform the conscious mind in everything we do. So Charles Fillmore had a lot to say about this, these three phases of mind, unity, metaphysics, and he says this about the superconsciousness. The superconscious mind lifts up, regenerates both the subconscious and the conscious, transforming them into the true image and likeness of God. The conscious mind must look to the superconscious mind for all direction in this transformation. So it's a shift for a conscious mind to say, oh, I'm not looking from these old reactive patterns of subconscious storehouse. I'm looking instead to the possible, to to the infinite, to the, you know, I want peace. I look to the infinite mind of peace. It's all available to us. It's just a process of as Joe Dispenza would talk about, rewiring, right? We're rewiring. Charles Fillmore said in his book, Atom Smashing Power of Mind, which I just like to, any opportunity to say that title. He said, the superconsciousness is the goal toward which humanity is working. So that is our evolution. Our evolution is to say, oh, wow, I actually came in with this design, this operating system designed so that the superconsciousness would inform my conscious mind. And I forgot that that was what I came in with that possibility. And so I started just using my old storehouse. I started just taking stuff from the cellar. And as it turns out, I could take stuff from the sky. Very different, right? Nice piece of blue sky for peace of mind and tranquility and serenity, or some old memory you're going to drag up the stairs. It's full of dust and heavy and does not help anything, right? So those are our choices. So what can we do about this so we accept? But, well, that's easy to say. Easier said than done, right? Oh, just accept change. There's a lot of stuff to do right here to begin to clear things out. Shadow work is a great way for us to work in the subconscious. Has anybody heard of or done some shadow work? Yeah, so for some of you, that's a familiar term. So it's basically, it's said that way just as it's the words are, right? It's in the shadows. It's something we don't see. But when we shine the light, we suddenly say, oh, I see that old pattern. So generally, shadow work is just about false core beliefs that we hold. And so generally, it'll come down to a couple of them for all of us that will fall in one camp or the other, or maybe a little bit of both. The first one is, I'm not safe. Some people will really be holding that false core belief that I'm not safe. And so out of that, how does that look? Well, it generally looks like a kind of defensiveness, right? Defending our rightness or defending, it's sort of a comparison thing. You know, we'll either puff ourselves up or we'll diminish ourselves according to how we're feeling. So we're always reading, right? If I sense that maybe I've got an edge over somebody, then I might go into dominating or judging just to make sure I can keep my position, right? Or if I feel like a little less than, I might diminish myself a little further, submit in some way, and, you know, then maybe they'll give me, if I puff them up instead of me, if I diminish myself, then maybe they'll give me the protection or the love or whatever it is I need. And so it's that cycle that would be a subconscious to conscious loop through this kind of old stuff that we don't want to use anymore. So we shine the light and we say, wow, is it true that I'm not safe? As Byron Katie would say in her four questions of the work, is it true? How do I know it's true? And so we begin to inquire into that. So another one is that I'm not worthy or I'm not enough. And so that's a really common one as well. And out of that belief, Brené Brown says, one of the ways we might react out of that belief is hustling for our worth. Anybody ever hustle for their worth? I can relate to this one, yeah. And so what that looks like might be overwork, people-pleasing, perfectionism. My former housemate, Stephen, once pointed out to me very cleverly that he said, you know, you don't just get your ducks in a row. You get your ducks in a row, and then you rearrange them. And I was like, oh, Stephen, if you only knew. I rearrange, and then I rearrange, and then I rearrange. Or up until now, I did that, I should say. Up until recently, I did that. So we had a good laugh over it, right? Because you know how it is when you're seen, right, for your old patterns. And so then it was just a recognition of, wow, that's a lot of wasted energy, isn't it? You know? And here's the thing. We tend to do these things. We tend to do more of them when we're stressed. So for a perfectionist, it's like a double whammy. You're already stressed for time, and you're there rearranging, which creates more stress, right? So it's like, letting it all go and realizing I am enough. It is enough. We are enough, right? And so when we can come into that truth, all those old habits that just drain us fall away, and we are free and flowing in the truth. So what do you do to compensate for whatever that core false belief is that you have a tendency toward? And what is your way to peace? What is your vehicle, your way back to peace? You know it already. You already have your ways of getting back to peace, restoring a state of mind and heart and body that goes, blue sky. It's a good thing, right? So being present is a big piece of this, right? We talk about that a lot in spirituality, being in the now, being in the presence. But what does it look like when we're not? Well, we're over here in the past, right? And in the past, we can ruminate, we can maybe regret, you know, it just, we're kind of stuck here, you know, or we can talk about how the good old days, it was so much better back then, you know. Or we can be over here in the future and we can be what ifing, but what if that happens? And what if that happens? And what if that happens? And what if, oh, I'm dead. You know, that's kind of how it goes, right? Ultimately, if you go what ifing far enough in the downward spiral. But what is the future marked with in this kind of vein of false thinking? Worry, right? So we got regret, worry, stuck in the past, focused on the future. What does that make our present? Crucified present. There's nothing there, right? We crossed it right out. There's nothing happening here because we're over here or we're over here. And we want our consciousness to be here. From this place, we can look back, we can look forward, but we're grounded here. And that's where the power is. In the presence is where the power is. Isaiah reminds us to get out of the past because we are evolving and the newness is wonderful. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way. And so when we're over here focusing on the past, Isaiah's going, come on, you're evolving. You're here to come into that super conscious mind, to experience the absolute peace, the absolute love, the purest joy. And I will make a way. Can you perceive it? He gives us the key. Can you shift your perception so you can perceive it? Because a way is being made. To peace, to joy, to love, to healing, to wholeness, whatever it is, prosperity, you name it. So casting into the future then, you know, I don't know if you ever do this, but it can get really kind of funny and a little when we watch ourselves and others, right? So I've watched my sister and my niece, who are very future-oriented, have an argument about where my niece's children are going to live, and she's not even pregnant. And I have like gone one, like this before. Do you two realize what you're doing right now? I mean, we hope she'll have children, that'll be great, but fighting over where they're gonna live is a little beyond us, isn't it? A little beyond the present moment. I had some friends that recently were having a fight, and all of a sudden these words get thrown out. Divorce, child custody. It's like, wow, that is a lot of catastrophizing in one little argument, right? So it's kind of what the mind can do when we let it run away in such a way into the future of fear and what can happen in fear. But you know what Jesus said? Who by worrying can add a single hour to the span of their lives? Or what Mark Twain said, I'm an old man and I have known a great many troubles, most of which never happened. We can all relate to that one, can't we? Yes. So what we want to do instead is go within, right? Because it's all this outward looking, focusing for our worth, our enoughness, our safety. And we go, oh, wait, I forgot. I have this pathway inward. And when I go inward, I get all of that. I connect with all of that. I know I am safe. I know all is well when I'm grounded here, right? I know that what my future holds is out of this present moment. So I'm grounded in that present moment, and then anything I can co-create is available to me. Such a different perspective, isn't it, than all the running around the ego would have us do, all the crazy antics to try to keep a fixed identity in an ever-changing, evolving world and life and being and soul. So, yeah, we just come back around to accept it. Life is change. I'm changing. Let's not make it bad. Let's not catastrophize it. Let's just be in the power and the presence and the possibility. So Pema Chodron has a student that says she just gives things the 1.5 minute treatment. What is the 1.5 minute treatment, you might ask? Well, an emotion lasts from the time it's triggered, research shows, to its fruition, 90 seconds. It runs all the way through and finishes in 90 seconds. Now you might be saying, wait a second. My anger lasts longer than 90 seconds. What's going on here? You're just like pouring kerosene on an ember, right? Keeping the flames going by the stories that we tell, by the thoughts we have, by the fanning the flames, right? But if instead we follow like her student does and just watch the emotion, experience the emotion in its fullest, honor the emotion, then it becomes very interesting. It's like, ooh, this looks like fire. It feels like fire, right? Let's take anger, for example. We might even notice some of the specific sensations in our body. We might have visuals of what that feels like. We may feel the burn. It's like for the first time, we really got to greet anger and honor it in its fullness, in its fire. And then out it goes. Dropping the storyline in being fully present for 90 seconds in the feeling. We're capable of that, right? We could all, even in a moment of anger, you know, the breathing technique works really well. I learned that one a long time ago. It's like, oh, if I just count to 10 and breathe, I won't say a bunch of stuff that I'm going to regret, you know, and burn a bunch of bridges. Instead, breathe. And then we come into that place and we can actually watch the emotion. It's brilliant. Simple. We can do this. Coming back to Byron Katie's questions, this is the work, and these are the key four questions. It's so laser clear, this work. And if you're interested in this, you can. She's all over the internet. She's got worksheets and free things and seminars and all kinds of stuff, books. But these are the basic four questions it comes down to, is whatever's going on for us that we're getting triggered by, we say, is it true? Can I absolutely know that this is true? Usually it's a no. How do I react? What happens when I believe that thought? Well, I get all, you know, worked up. I'm anxious. I'm upset. I got to fix it. You know, all that kind of frenetic energy often happens, right? Or I feel really down. I feel really sad. I feel like I'm never going to be able to get out of this, whatever it is. But who would I be without that thought? Wow, freedom comes all of a sudden, right? We are the very essence of peace or joy or love or harmony when we see the patterns that are not serving us, when we shine a light and we say, you know what? I think I'll make a different choice. That rewires us. That flips us. Every time you do something like that, you have moved to the way that the three phases of mind were meant to operate. You're no longer feeding the conscious mind from the subconscious. You're allowing the super consciousness to direct your way. And it will always end up being easier, more graceful, more fun, more powerful by going that route. So the human mind, Eckhart Tolle says, is awakening from the dream of thought. And the dream of thought, when we feel bored, for example, we're just in the boredom, right? We're thinking about the boredom, we're in the boredom, or whatever it is, right? But he says, when you say, I am bored, who is thinking? Right? When you say, I'm sad, who's thinking? Curious, isn't it? Because we are not it. We are the knowing itself. We have moved then into the seat of divine presence, who is the observer, the witness. That's what we do when we meditate often. We sit in the seat of the observer, and we watch the rise and fall of feelings and thoughts, and it's with curiosity. But to recognize that I am not that thing that hooks me, I am not that condition, I am the knowing itself. And because I am the knowing itself, I have the power to say, I'm going to change that thought. I'm going to stop thinking that thought. I'm going to move into a whole different way of being. And that establishes a mind of peace. Because a mind of peace knows all is well no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in our world. It carries with us our whole consciousness. It's not, the mind is not just the brain, but the whole consciousness walks around in a state of all is well, even in the midst of absolute chaos, even in the midst of war, which is so hard to imagine. But yet we have breaking human hearts, of course, we have feelings, but we're aware of all that too, because we are completely present to it. So while the tears flow, while the heart breaks, the mind is still in a place of peace that says, I know that all is well. I'm not okay with what's going on around. I want to be a part of that change. But guess the best way to change it isn't going to be dragging stuff up from the basement of your subconscious mind. The best way to change it is to reach for the capacity that you have, to reach out into that expansive mind that has no bounds, and to say, God, bring me an idea. And there's the idea. Go to the solution center, that heart of love. Just drop right in there and say, what is mine to do? What is mine to say? And there it is, the thought, the action, the clarity. In every moment we can live like this, and we're moving toward it, we're evolving in it. And when I think about that future, I feel really excited and passionate in this presence, don't you? Because yes, we get to be the ones who are helping transform our whole lives, our whole beings, our whole human creation is being recreated because we're waking up and we're saying, wow, my mind has way more capacity. I can read with my eyes unavailable. That is amazing. That is incredible. That's not a joke. It's not just like some off, you know, thing that somebody wished for and they started to make up. It's like, I think pretty soon we're going to have to transform that word woo-woo because it's like, or something, because into wow-wow. Yes, I love it. Woo-woo has just become wow-wow, you know. And I'm good with being wow wow. I'm not going to ever apologize again for being wow wow. Are you? Cuz we are really, really, truly. I mean, this is an exciting time to be alive, and we are like we are in it. I'm not even going to say on the cusp anymore. We're in it. We're in the transformational soup. And it's goodness coming in every way. And I don't mean goodness like just good conditions in life, good, bad. I mean, yes, that too, there can be that influence of that. But it's the allness. It's the allness that we are coming into. That's how we can say all is well in the presence of anything that looks difficult, because we're standing in the allness of spirit. And when we stand in the allness of spirit, do you think that that allness of spirit, that source of all, that divine intelligence of the universe looks around and goes, no, I don't like that. No, it's like, this is great. Everything is flowing. And when we don't like something, we just exchange it. We transform it. We change it because we have the power to do so. Knowing all that can bring, even in the midst of all the fiery passion of it, can also bring our minds a lot of peace, right? Because all the anxiety is just all the spinning of what could happen or what is happening, and I don't know what to do about it. But you do know what to do about it. We all know what to do about it because we are one with the superconscious mind. And because we are flipping the switch so that we are always going to that place now. And we are healing the stuff that's behind us and underneath us in the basement, because we're just shining our light and going, okay, guys, time to go. It's been enough of that, right? Keeping us down, keeping us in those loops and those unhealthy patterns. And we don't need that stuff anymore. We are evolving past it. So where do we go from here? You know, what do we do from here? Well, all these things that we've talked about today, we become masters of life. Anybody watching the Olympics yet? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, lots of enthusiasm in this service for the Olympics. All right. So, you know, you can see an Olympic athlete. And do you think, like Simone Biles, when she's flipping through the air, is thinking very much? Yeah, you know, Eckhart Tolle says our evolution is transcending thought. And there you see, you know, a being who is not only transcending what we thought possible that the human body could do, but in that moment transcending thought, because it's all spontaneous intuitive action. It's all flowing from the essence of the divine, right? We get to that point where we master things, whether we are teaching or counseling or creating, or, you know, it doesn't matter, or being an Olympic athlete. It's all those times that we are in that place where we don't even have to think about it, that there is flow, that we are in the divine mind experience, that we are in the mastery of life. So it's when we say transcending thought, it's not, you know, the nature of the mind is to think. So it's not like saying, oh, don't think, mind. It's about don't get swept up in thought, right? Don't get hooked into thought. Don't think you are the thought. Be the knowing consciousness, because that's who you are. And you can make a lot of free choice from that place. And a lot of goodness can flow from it, including a peaceful state of mind. Not only for you, but for everybody around you. Imagine if the whole world took one breath right now and really knew all is well. Wow. Even just one breath of that could shift everything. And it is, and it will, and we are. So let's, you know, do some work to shepherd our little lost thoughts. Like you would a good shepherd, right? When we go off in these different directions, you would go get your sheep, maybe even laugh at their antics, and gently bring them back home to center. That's all we have to do. It's simple, really. Because you have a mind of peace, and you have a body of light, and you have a heart of love. And with those three things, nothing can stop you from creating the world you long to live in. It's already happening. So let's know this for ourselves, and let's do this work within the mind this week. I invite you to say this affirmation with me. I am the good shepherd of my thoughts, establishing a superconscious mind of peace. And so it is. Thanks, everyone online.
Thank you.